And in this parable, he's also speaking to us in contrasts. On the one hand, there's the rich man. He dresses up in fine clothes. His whole lifestyle yells, "I'm rich. I live in luxury, and I want you to know it." He plans his pleasures and his parties carefully. But notice this. It's important. In the parable, he has no name. He has no name. He's nameless. Living for his own pleasure makes him a nobody. There's no substance to the man, no deeper identity than his stuff. He's just the rich man. Then on the other hand, there's Lazarus, a beggar. He's a man without the luxuries of life, without all the stuff of the rich man. The dogs licking his wounds made him, according to Jewish law, religiously impure. So Lazarus can't even join with fellow Jews in going to the synagogue and praying. But he has a name. He's got substance and identity. The name Lazarus is Greek and stands for the Hebrew name Eliezer, which means God is my help. So how do these two people relate to each other? Clearly in the parable, they don't. They don't relate at all. There's a chasm between the two. But the rich man is not portrayed as an exploiter of Lazarus. He doesn't actively harm him, nor is he portrayed as an unreligious man. He could well be an observant Jew, regularly found at synagogue services. How the parable describes him is simply like this. He very much enjoyed his riches, and he ignored the poor man. Lazarus was stretched out right there in front of him at his door. Lazarus was really there, but he was not included as part of the rich man's life. The rich man chose. He chose to be indifferent to what was there before him. He chose to focus on his pleasures and parties. He chose to keep company with his things and with his stuff. And he chose to exclude Lazarus from his life. Lazarus, with all his obvious suffering, he chose to exclude from his concern. Now, in the parable, Jesus shows us how God reacts to the rich man's behavior. God takes Lazarus to himself and lets the rich man suffer in hell. But it would be so wrong to understand this parable in a partisan or political way. Something like, well, Jesus is for the poor and against the rich. or real disciples of Jesus shouldn't be well off, or the poor are more pleasing to God. That misses the point being made in the parable, and it misunderstands the real tragedy being acted out in the parable. For Jesus, there's a clear connection between being his disciple and the way we own and use our possessions. The parable wants to get us thinking about what is my real relationship to the things I possess, the value we attach to having things has everything to do with how we think about ourselves and about other people. Do I value myself in terms of what I have? Am I good in my own eyes? Am I successful when I have stuff? And then, do I prefer things to people? Do I spend more time with things than I do with people? We should think about how we would answer these questions. For Jesus, our real answer is given in how we actually respond to the needs and to the suffering of people around us. If we choose to live at a distance from their suffering, choose to live blind to clear human need, then we've already given our answer. It's the answer of the rich man. But there's something more, something very deeply important that the parable is trying to tell us. The parable presents us with a tragedy, a real human tragedy. How Jesus understands that tragedy comes at the end of the parable. He tells us there that our tears should be kept for the rich man. For the rich man. He is the tragic figure. He had the opportunity to live a fully human life, a life with people and a life for people. But he chose to live the little life. He chose to live the meager life of stuff and more stuff. So he made his life into a human tragedy. He made himself a nobody. We need to reflect on this message that Jesus is giving us in this parable.